You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus, I just pray a great calm over every person here this morning. God, that must have been wild to be in the other boats on the sea, not with Jesus, to not know what was happening, to feel like this was the end, to see no hope in sight, and then suddenly, as if out of nowhere, the storm just calms, and the raging ceases. And God, I believe that there are people here this morning, God, that the seas and the storms are raging inside of them, and I just ask this morning, God, that we would as a community usher in just your miraculous peace that passes understanding. That it would come in, that it would calm the fears, calm the anxiety, calm all of the voices, that we would hear your voice the loudest, God, that just speaks a peace over us and that we would be still. God, you are here and it is well. We give this morning over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Take that. Good morning, Makers Church. Hey, as you guys are sitting down, you might see on your chair a little plastic ring. If you don't have one, there's probably one near you. Just hold on to that. Don't lose it. They're child size, so don't try and put it on your finger either. It will get stuck. We're going to come back to that later, but I just want to welcome you so I'm so grateful that you're here. So welcome to Makers Church. If we haven't met before, my name is Shalise, and I have the absolute privilege of serving here as one of the pastors. And I'm grateful to be up here today, having almost survived another school year. I can't believe the year is almost over. It seemed, you know, like just a few weeks ago, I was up here all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, like, I'm going to be an assistant principal. And now I stand before you a broken shell of a human going, oh, we survived. You know, they always said, don't decide if you want to be a teacher in May. And I think that is great advice. Do not decide about your teaching jobs in May. But I can't wait for summer. I got two more weeks. I'm on summer break. I'm ready for a little bit of a vacation. You know you need a vacation when your eye starts twitching when you just think about going to work. I'm like, okay, yeah, we're good. We're good. So you know that peace that we were talking about? Like, I need that kind of peace, that miraculous, like, everything seems so chaotic and busy and hectic right now, and that's just in my little world. I know that there are so many things going on outside of my world, in the world that we live in, that are causing chaos and tension and disruption. And so when I prayed, like, God, we need your peace this morning, that was just for me. That wasn't for you guys. But thank you for being here anyway. So, you know, the past few weeks we've been in a conversation that we're calling Brother to Brother. And it is a series that is about the book of James. And James was written by James, the brother of Jesus. And today it's fitting that we're opening up our scriptures to James 3. Now, when I signed up to do this week, I hadn't read the verses yet. I was just like, this is great. I'll do this week. And then I opened up James 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. And I was like, amen, preach it, sermon over, and we all leave. So, you know, not many of you should become teachers. I'm kidding about like that being the, but I also think this is an incredibly interesting way to begin giving advice. He's like, so I'm going to teach you something, but listen, you don't want what I have. You don't want this. Don't wish this on yourself. Right? And he goes on and says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. I have wrestled with that sentence the past few weeks. I was like, did I just like do this to myself? Like, did I put myself into a situation where now I'm going to be held to a higher standard? I don't remember who it was, but I'll never forget being a kid growing up, and I heard some actress. They're like, what do you think about being a role model? She's like, I don't want to be a role model. And I was like, yes, I relate. Like, I was the firstborn. Everybody looked up to me. I had to be the role model. It's like, I didn't sign up for this. I don't want people trying to learn from me. But he says, not many of you should be teachers because you're going to be judged with a greater strictness. And I don't want you being here today thinking that I'm about to teach you something because I figured it out. Because I know how to do it perfectly. And I'm like, yes, here's how to be perfect as I am perfect. And Raheem's like, no, we never thought you were perfect. That was fine. My parents would agree. Yes, no, I'm not up here because I am perfect. I am up here to let you know that you're not alone. I am also not good at this. We are in this thing together. So he says, listen, you don't want to be a teacher. We all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. It's like, tell us how you really feel about the tongue, James. It says, for every kind of beast and bird, reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. Yeah. See, our tongues have a mind of their own. Sometimes they say and do exactly what they want. And at other times, it's like, why do we even try? Why do we even bother to control what comes out of our mouths? How do you even work to control your tongue? Do you remember being in grade school and you would do that weird thing with your tongue where you turn it into shapes? You're like, one, two, three. And then you, some of you in here, you can do that weird three thing with your tongue where it folds. And I know some of you are trying it right now. You're like, I can't quite do it. But this is the perfect analogy of like how difficult it is for me to control my tongue. I made it to step two and that was it. I'm like, one, two, got it. And I could not make it ever to step three because it is so, so difficult to control our tongues. And unfortunately, even as we get older, it never really gets any easier. James says the tongue, it is a restless evil. It's just waiting. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. He says, they are, but they shouldn't be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Have you ever said something and immediately wished you could take it back? Have you ever sent that text message and been like, unsend, unsend? Where is the unsend? Why is that not a technology yet? Like, Google did it with email, but you literally have about 10 seconds. I'm like, my regret doesn't usually sink until about 2 hours later. Like, I need a better buffer of a window. Right? I know every single one of us has opened up our mouths and immediately regretted it at some point in our lives because we felt what James calls that spark. We felt that spark leave our mouths and travel and ignite into a small flame, and we saw it light something on fire that we couldn't take back. And all you can do is watch it grow and watch it burn. It's amazing to me how one small word, a small phrase, can really change our lives forever. At my niece's birthday party a few weeks ago, I was talking to my sisters, and we were just recounting all the horrible things we had done to each other as children. I don't know how your family gatherings go, but we just kind of sit around and you're like, remember when I like broke your door handle because I was so angry? She's like, remember when I punched you? I'm like, yeah, you know. But we just sit around and we talk about our traumas, and that's how we heal from them. And usually they're talking about me, if we're honest, you know. And so I was talking to my sister Ashley, and we were talking about this time my mom used to like to make us clothes when we were little. So we get to go to Joanne's Fabrics, and I picked out a dinosaur print. I was very stoked on these dinosaur print shorts, and we had matching purple tank tops. We were rocking it. We looked real cool. I have the photos to prove it. And apparently, allegedly, my sister says that I walked up to her, and I said, oh, I can see your veins, because she had, like, really pale skin, and I could see, like, the blue of her veins on her chest. And so we were talking about this comment that I had made to her when she was probably like 5 or 6, and I said, yeah, I can see your veins. And she told me that because of that comment, she never wore tank tops growing up as a kid. She said she was in her late 20s before she felt comfortable wearing a tank top. And it kind of shocked me because I thought, wow, like, that harmless, innocent, seemingly comment that I had made hadn't just, like, impacted her. It had, like, burned an untruth into her skin about her body and her beauty that, like, I had not even recognized in that moment. And it literally changed the way that she lived and moved in this world. This is how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. It fascinates me that in the story of creation in Genesis, of all the ways that God could have created this world, could have thought it, could have shaped it in his hand like Play-Doh, could have molded it, but of all the ways that he could have brought life into this world, he chose to speak the world into existence. In Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. See, God spoke, he said into existence something that was not. And then it was. Could you imagine having that power? I mean, think about the thing right now that if you could just speak it into existence and it was, like, your life would be made. Some of you are thinking like, oh, just speak that partner into existence or that better job. Mark is like, think about Wendy's. He's like, if I just had a Baconator right now, life would be so much better. But imagine just being able to speak into existence life. And that's what God does. He spoke life into existence. But then the story continues, and Adam and Eve are in the garden, and we see Eve is tempted by this snake. And there's this exchange where she eats from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and she shares some of it with Adam. And it says that suddenly their eyes were opened, and they realized that they were naked. And so they hid themselves. And it says that God was coming through the garden in the cool of the day. And it says that he looked at them and began to speak to them and noticed that they were naked. So suddenly, Adam and Eve become aware of their nakedness, their vulnerability. And I think in this story, you could replace nakedness with anything that like makes us feel exposed. Anything that makes us feel seen, anything that makes us feel vulnerable, feel unworthy, feel scared, feel in fear of judgment. And that's how Adam and Eve were feeling. But I want you to listen to how God responds when he discovers them naked in the garden. In Genesis 3, it says, and Adam said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told you that you were naked? It says, who told you
that you were naked? Who told you to be ashamed? Who told you that whatever you were doing was not good? Who told you that there was anything that you could do that would cause a separation between you and I? God comes into the story and he says, who told you this? See, I had told my sister something about her body without even realizing what I had done. That was me. I was the one that told her. And as I reflected on this truth, I began to realize that, like, all of us are living in a world that was created from the words of somebody else. Words spoken over us, and some have caused deep, deep woundings. They've made burns and scars, things that we still feel to this very day, things that you feel like you may never unhear, may never recover from, may never get over. And I don't know how to fix it. I wish I could. I wish I could stand up here and say, hey, just do this thing and you'll forget and it'll be great. But I just want you to hear this morning that you're not alone. We are all living in worlds that have been created by the words of someone else or even ourselves spoken over us. See, James reminds us that our words have the power of life and death, blessings and curses. And this was before we had the internet. It is so much worse now. If you have a social media account, it is a high likelihood that you have cursed somebody publicly. And if you have a Facebook account and you are active on that, it's like 100% guaranteed. You know who you are, you little keyboard warriors, right? Like, we have this power all of a sudden at our fingertips to be like blessing and cursing people across the world from us that we have never met. We have the capacity to access this technology that can bring more life, more death than ever before. What's that, the Spider-Man quote? Like, the great power comes great responsibility, right? We have this great power, but not many of us are very responsible with it. Right? And James is very clear when he speaks about the power of our words. He says, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Let's hear it again. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Does a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine produce figs? He says it cannot be. A salt pond cannot yield fresh water. And what James is telling us, he's saying you can be refreshing or you can be salty. But you can't be both at the same time. And some of you are like, well, this keyboard hand is very salty and this one is very nice. And then I like forgive them in my heart and then I tell them that they are wrong, 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 right? So you can't have it both ways. You cannot be both at the same time. But think about it. James uses this analogy of fire. I don't know a lot about fire. I'm not a firefighter, but I've been friends with Derek long enough to know that fire is either constructive or it is destructive. It's not neutral, am I right? Constructive or destructive, it is not neutral. Proverbs 6 says, can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? See, our words, just like fire, have a power, and we will either use that power to build others up or to tear them down. It cannot be both. I used to say that words only have the power that you give them. But the problem with that is like saying fire only has the power to burn it if you let it. Like, I'm just not going to let this fire burn. Like, that's not how it works. It's going to burn no matter what. But I used to say this all the time. I used to say words only have the power that you give them. And I usually use this as an excuse to listen to very explicit music growing up. Because I would tell my mom, you know, like, Mom, these words don't have any power. But when I was growing up, my mom, who is here to defend herself, don't worry, if I get it wrong, she will let me know. I will print a retraction. But my mom and dad had this thing called curse-free TV. Did anybody else have this little black box growing up? Okay. Curse-free TV was a magical technology, let me tell you. magical technology where it would read, I don't know, like the subtitles, the captions, and anytime there was a bad word, I use that in bad word, it would replace it with something else. I will not forget the day I was watching VeggieTales and Bob the Red Tomato said something about his butt, but instead it bleeped it out and said toe. And I was like, really, Mom? This is what we've come to? Like, Bob, not even VeggieTales is like good enough for us? But we had this curse-free TV, and So my like big great rebellion of my childhood was like, I'm gonna listen to rap music. You know, I was like, I'll show you toe, you know. And I remember I just loved like having this little rebellious thing where I was like, words don't matter. You know, my mom would always try and tell us, like, you have to guard your heart, you can't let these things into your mind. And I'm like, but it's Tupac, Mom, it's different. So I believe it was the pearly white Toyota Sienna minivan, I could be wrong. It was a minivan. And I had just learned to drive. And I had forgotten my mixed rap CD that I left in my mom's minivan. So when my mom got in the car the next morning to go to school, and she thought like K-Praise Worship was gonna come on, and it was Missy Elliott, Get Your Freak On, my mom was like, what freak do you have to be getting on? And I was like, what? No, it's a metaphor for like, you know, I don't know. But I will never forget this parenting move. My mom, I don't even know if she remembers this. She brought me into the living room and played the CD in front of my dad and me sitting there. And my mom is crying, you guys. My mom is crying, and I'm like, this is a banger, yeah. You know, my dad's like, I don't even know what happened with her. That's your kid, you know. But my mom is like having this really like emotional response, you know, to the songs. And she had made it to Missy Elliott's Get Your Freak On, and then we skipped some tracks, and it was like backseat window up, and we're like, nope, we're done. You know, and I remember the just sheer horror and terror of that moment, looking at my mom, be like, words only have the power you give them, Mom. You know, like that excuse was not working for her anymore. And I laugh at that now because I used to think like my mom was so extreme, like she was so over the top. And then the other day I'm driving one of our friends' kids around, she's a preteen, and she's like, can we listen to Dr. Dre? And I was like, absolutely not. That is gonna corrupt you. You cannot listen to that kind of music. And see, whether I had recognized it or not, like at that time, the words that we speak and the words spoken over us are never neutral. They're filled with power. And that's why James's analogy of our tongue being like a fire is so, so fitting, because it's either one or the other. It's constructive or it's destructive. It's blessings or it's curses. Next week, I'm going to be speaking again, and I have the privilege of talking about this true versus false wisdom. And we're going to unpack more of this dichotomy, like how can you have these things that you think exist in the same thing but really aren't the same thing and can't be the same thing but do exist in some of those same spaces. And it's very confusing when we try and unpack some of these truths, which I think is interesting that James doesn't really tell us what to do. He just makes a statement. He's like, hey, watch your words. They're really destructive. And then he doesn't tell us how to watch our words. He doesn't tell us what to do. He just throws the thing out there and says, okay, now figure it out. And as we're trying to figure out, well, what does this mean for me? Like, okay, I got it. Words are constructive, destructive. Like, it's DC Talk or it's Dr. Dre. It can't be both. It's one or the other. I think that we need to, like, sit in the tension of the not having the answer. Right? Because what maybe works for me might not work for you. And maybe the words that I'm struggling to speak and speak life into in those environments and spaces aren't going to be the same ones that are for you. See, maybe you never had an instance with a sibling where you cursed them without even realizing it. Maybe you're very, very careful with your words. Maybe you're so careful that Your challenge is to speak more blessings. And it's not to stop necessarily speaking those curses. See, I regret being so reckless with my words as a kid. I didn't know any better. I wasn't trying to hurt my sister. But I regret the damage that it caused to her. And when I think about it, I can pinpoint times in my life when others were reckless with the words that they spoke over me. And I still play those things in my head. I remember being 13 and somebody called me fat. I was this height. I weighed 130 pounds. I would give my left toe, my left foot, to be 130 pounds right now. But somebody said I was fat, and that was it. I was fat the rest of my life. Didn't matter what I looked like because that word had been burned so deep into me. See, we've all had words spoken over us that have shaped us, have changed our very worlds. And why we can't necessarily go back and we can't change those things, we can make choices now about the way that we speak over others from this day forward. When Jesus spoke, he brought us life. And Jesus used his voice and his power not to like stir up the storm, but to calm the storm. Jesus never used his voice and his power to bring judgment or condemnation or to create division, but to bring about peace and healing. And Jesus used his voice to call everyone, not just those like him, not just those who loved him, to call everyone, even his enemies, even those who would betray him, to come and to follow him. And he gives us that same invitation to come and to follow him. Even those of us who listen to really explicit rap music, we can also still follow Jesus. Right? And so I want to end with this in Luke 6. It says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What is your heart full of? When I was a little kid, we went to Vineyard Church out in El Cajon. And I will never forget one day I was walking down the hallway because there were donuts at the end of the hallway in this little room. And I went and I probably grabbed like four donuts and I'm shoving them in my mouth and I'm walking back down the hallway. And I remember this vividly. There was an open room on the right, my Sunday school room on the left, and I'm walking down the hallway, and Donna Sladke stops me in the hallway. And I had on this really over-the-top, gaudy, pink plastic ring. And Donna Sladke stops me, and she says, oh, Shalice, I love your ring. And I was never the same from that day forward. 34 years later, I'm still telling this story about Donna Sladke and how she stopped me in a hallway and pointed out a silly plastic pink heart ring that I was wearing. And I don't know what it was about that interaction, I just know that it changed me. I don't know how to explain it, I just know that I was never the same after that moment. And some of you have kids and you've probably seen this in me, but I cannot pass a child without telling them something I love that they're wearing. I don't know why. Just when I was a little kid, it was imprinted into me that there was this woman who took a moment to pause and speak something so innocuous, but it felt like life to me. It felt like she saw me. It felt like I was worthy of being acknowledged over a silly pink heart ring. Changed my life forever because of that one interaction. So now I take every opportunity I can to stop people as I'm passing them in the hallway. Whatever that hallway is, maybe it's, you know, I'm standing in line at the grocery store or I'm walking down the hall at school and I'll just notice myself like, hey man, I love your shoes, those are awesome. Or like, girl, great haircut, that's so great. Or oh my gosh, I love your dress. And I mean it with all sincerity because I remember somehow my life was radically changed at 5 years old from a woman commenting on my pink ring. I don't know if it burst within me like a sense of like goodness or of being worthy or of just being cool. Like, I cannot explain it, and it doesn't even matter. But what matters is that there was a woman who took an opportunity at a young age to speak life over me, and it caught like a fire. And in an instant, my entire perspective on what it means to interact and to be humans together changed. My entire perspective on what it means to love somebody changed. And I thought, it doesn't have to be something extravagant or planned out. It could be as simple as a quick little phrase of, I see you, you matter, you're important, I know your name. And so my challenge for you today isn't some big extravagant thing. It's just a question of who in your environment, in your spaces, could you just speak life into? Who could you just take a moment to just see them and truly see them, to acknowledge them, to notice the things about them that matter, that care, that are important to them, and who can you speak life into? I don't know about you, but I want to use every word that I have to speak blessings over people, to speak life into them. And so every time I see a little silly ring like this, I think about Donna Sladke. And I think about that moment that changed my life forever. We've got, 30, 40 kids in the back here having Sunday school right now. Like, imagine if every single one of their lives could be impacted and changed by just us as adults noticing them. Imagine how much healing could happen if we as adults would just notice each other. Just take the time to pause and say, hey, I notice you, I see you, I'm with you, you're not alone. So this week, as we go throughout our weeks, I wanna invite you to a challenge to take your ring. And you can keep it for yourself, you can give it to somebody else, but I want it to be a reminder for each of us that the very breath of life within us, within you, within I, this is the breath of God. This is breath that has been given to us to bring life, to bring blessing to others. And when we do that, when we create something that does not yet exist, when we usher in truth and beauty into the world that does not exist, we are practicing and following the way of Jesus. If you don't have a ring on your seat, then you can grab one on your way out, but keep it by your bedside, keep it with you, wear it if you want, give it to one of your children, and just let this be a reminder for each of us that every breath is an opportunity to speak life into somebody. Yeah. Let's pray. Jesus, I want to be a person that speaks life and light into the darkness. God, as we're about to sing, Lord, it is your breath in our lungs. The same breath that calmed the storm, the same breath that brought Lazarus back from the dead, that gave sight to the blind, that created the very world that we live in. God, that is the breath that you breathed into us from that first moment of creation. And your healing power and your just beauty is still at work in us if we will let it. And God, I just pray that we would let it. That we would be people who allow your blessings to flow like a river from our tongues. That we would be people, God, who do not curse those who are made in your image and your likeness. That we do not just separate ourselves from others that we don't understand. But God, that we would use our words to create healing, to create bridges, to create unity, and to just restore those things that have been broken. God, this is not something that we can do in and of our own power. Lord, I know that there was nothing magical about those words that Donna Sladke uttered to me, but I know that there was something in her breath. God, there was your spirit. God, it says in scriptures that the Holy Spirit is that word ruach, which means breath. God, and I believe that your spirit resides in the very words that we sing, in the breath that we breathe, and in the life that we speak over ourselves and over one another. So as we're sitting here this morning, God, I just ask that you would allow us to be a people of blessing, that we would always speak light
into the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.